All right, so welcome to a new year, a new start, new opportunity. Several months back, you're going to be hearing a lot about this over the next few weeks, but several months back, I came across a project that was done by some leaders that I follow, Christian leaders that I follow, and they called it the Year of Biblical Literacy. All right. It was basically a project where their entire church read through the Bible in a year. That's about four chapters a day. Now, we have done that kind of thing before here where we've just encouraged you, hey, you know, there's this Bible called the One-Year Bible. You can get it and you can just follow through and read it. And we've done that and kind of set you loose to do that. And we were thinking, you know, the Bible, and this is what we'll talk more about this today, the Bible is a complicated book. And so when we just kind of set people loose to read through the Bible, some people are able to just kind of like grit their teeth and go. Others, and this is probably the likely story for so many of us, is we just get bogged down in the, what is this all about? Which totally makes sense. And so I loved the idea of making it a larger project for the whole church. Okay, the whole church reading through the Bible, and so we're putting together sermon series to help support the effort of all of us as we're going through this together. And so Pastor Mike and I, we got together to talk about this back in the fall, and he said, well, the school that he works for, where he's the academic director, is going through the books of the Bible at about half that pace, two chapters a day, which is like more my pace, okay? Like, slowest reader in the world right here. And so I like that. I really like that. So that's where we are. That's what we're doing. And as I said, you're going to hear more about that today from Mike and as we go through this series and beyond. But so we're not doing the year of biblical literacy. We're doing 2 years of biblical literacy, which has got to be better. Right? That's like twice as good and twice as slow, which I can appreciate and hopefully you will too. So we just got started this past Wednesday on the first of the year. A lot of you have signed up, and I know that even more of you who haven't signed up are doing it because I've talked to you and you're doing it and you're going through it and you're not on the list, okay? So, but get on the list if you can. It's real simple. Go to granitecity.org/Bible. granitecity.org/Bible. Okay? And that'll get you there. That'll also show you where like all the reading plans are, and there are some other resources there. So I will say this though, you don't have to do it. There are other ways to engage Scripture, and I hope that you do. We don't want you to not be engaging with Scripture or just saving these mornings to be the only time that you have a touch point with Scripture. But we do hope, you know, you don't have to do this, but we hope that as many of you do this as possible. So if you're kind of on the fence and you're like, I don't know, or like, I've done it before, I don't need to do it again, if you're just concerned, do it. Do it, okay? If you're worried about getting behind, do it, okay? You're going to get behind. That's part of it. And the beautiful thing about doing just two chapters a day is that it's set up so that there are no readings on the weekend so you can catch up, all right? And now if you're worried that it's too late, it's like, oh, you know, I wanted to start, but it's already, you know, I already missed Wednesday. It's not too late. It's not too late. We're only 7 chapters in at this point, so you can easily catch up. But you will actually be hearing me say that for the next couple years, it's never too late, okay? You can dive in at any time. If you're behind, you can just pick up right where the rest of the church is and just follow with pick up right from, you don't have to start at the beginning. Or you can go back and start at the beginning at any time. And so as we're going to be providing sermon series, like it'll be helpful if you dive in, you know, and you follow along right where we're at. We are going to have sermons that are going to be like one-off sermons to help you prepare for an upcoming book. For example, on March 9th, that's the week that if you're right on schedule in the plan, many of you will be starting the book of Leviticus, and we're going to prep you to read Leviticus. At other points, we have sermon series to help you get a better understanding of big ideas in the Bible, all of which is to help us know Jesus better and be formed and transformed by the powerful presence of God, who's words and very character reside within the pages of this amazing book. In fact, next week, I think we're going to talk a little bit about just how amazing the book, the Bible, actually is as a part of this sermon series that we're starting today, which is called Formed. Okay? Did you know that you have the capacity to be formed into the very likeness of Jesus? Like the one human that walked this earth and actually got humanity perfectly right. Your life has hardwired in it from the very beginning of creation the potential to image out to the world the very reflection of God in your life. God wants to form you to be like himself. Think about that for a moment, okay? Don't just like let that like fly past your heads. Like that is radical. That's incredible, beautiful concept that we shouldn't just let slip past us this morning. You are a malleable piece of clay that can be formed into the likeness of God. Now, our formation into the likeness of Christ is not a given, okay? There are other forces in this world that will form us, that are forming us. There are powers at play in this world that are shaping you right now. The media that we consume, the images that we look at, the thoughts that we believe about ourselves and others, the relationships that we have, the education that we receive, all of these things and so many more things are forming us, all right? So for those of you who aspire to be more like Jesus, we actually need to push back against those other things that are forming us as we practice disciplines for our lives to help shape us and form our lives to be more like Jesus. And if we want to be more like Jesus, we need to practice, right? That's why we have these things called spiritual practices, of which reading scripture can be one of those things. And that's why we're leaning so heavily on this, on our whole church community as a whole, reading the Bible together, right? This isn't just about becoming literate in the things of the Bible, though that's important. This is about being formed into the likeness of Christ. So this opening series of 2025 is really to help us get off on the right foot as we do this together. Again, you don't need to feel left out if you're not doing it. There's still much to be gained, but I hesitate to say that because I don't want you to be like, oh, I guess I don't have to do it. That's true, you don't have to do it. But I would encourage you, this is just an incredible way to follow Jesus together, all right? So if you're following along in the Bible reading plan, you got up to Genesis chapter 6-7 this weekend, okay? And we need to acknowledge that if, and this is why we're doing this together, that reading the Bible is hard, all right? And if we're only 7 chapters in and we're already having to deal with a God who wants to wipe out nearly all of humanity with a flood, all right? And we've got giants that are walking in the land, and that's kind of confusing. We have to admit, this is challenging stuff, and we're only just getting started, okay? So we want to be able to do this well together. We want to be able to equip you to do this well together. And we'll probably, sometime in the spring, we'll do a couple seminars on just how do we do Bible interpretation? How do we faithfully do it? Because that's one way we can just get way off track and miss what the Bible is trying to speak to us. So I'm going to dive into the message for this morning in just a moment, but I want to just take a step back for a moment and come back to this passage that Jess read for us. Very short, very beginning of the Psalms. There's 150 Psalms, and this is the very first Psalm. This is where the Psalm starts, talking about how we can be formed, right? And so I want to read this to you again, and over the course of this morning, you will hear this psalm 3 times, okay? You've already heard it once. We're going to hear it again, okay? And this time, I just want you to close your eyes, and I want you to listen to these words, and just, like, maybe there's a word that stands out to you in the midst of the reading of the scripture. Maybe this is challenging for you because it talks about the wicked. Who are the wicked? You know, maybe this is an encouragement to you. But let's just hear these words as we think about what it means for us to be formed and rooted in a Savior and a God who loves us and wants to shape us to be the ideal of what humanity is supposed to be. Let's see what it says. So go ahead and close your eyes and listen to these words once again. This is Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Just take a moment. You don't have to lift your heads just yet. I just hold on to whatever that word is or that idea that kind of stuck in your head as I was reading it through. Make a note of that. Make a mental note of that. Thank you, Lord, for your word. All right. So we're not going to do like an exposition of this passage this morning, but I just want us to be able to sit with these beautiful words that remind us how amazing the instruction of our God is. It's incredible. It shows us how to be human. We did a whole sermon series on that a year ago. And yet we push back on it so often, and we allow our lives to be formed by so many other things. And so as we lean into this new year, this new sermon series, we want to be able to dive into the reading of scriptures and allow it to form our lives in ways that are significant, in ways that allow us to be transformed from what we are now into the likeness of Jesus. All right, so let's dive in. There is a strange thing that we do on a weekly basis. Maybe you're here for the first time and you really are aware of just how strange it is. But every Sunday, we come into this room, all right, and we gather each week to sing songs to an invisible God, and then we open up an ancient book, all right, to hear that invisible God speak to us through these ancient words that sometimes talks about giants in the land. And we don't quite understand it, right? Why do we do this strange thing? And the simplest answer, and there's probably several, but I just want to lean into the simplest answer for now, is because Jesus did it. And if we want to be formed more into the likeness of Christ, then we want to do the things that Jesus did. And this is what Jesus did. This is a very good place to get to get super familiar with the book that he was super familiar with. By the way, Jesus didn't call it the Bible. In Luke 24, he called it the Law of Moses, the Prophets, and the Psalms. And he had shorthand for that, which he used in the very next verse, Scripture. Right? And you'll hear us use those words sometimes. In the very next verse, he says he opened the minds of the disciples so they could understand the Scriptures. And the most fundamental reason that we as Christ followers value the practice of Scripture reading is because Jesus valued the practice of Scripture reading. And in a few weeks, we're going to start our next sermon series where we're going to kind of give you a 30,000-foot view of Scripture so that we can see the way that God ties it all together from beginning to end. They say sometimes it's hard to see the forest for the trees. You've heard that before. So we want to kind of pull back so that we can see the whole forest, right? So you know what the forest looks like while you're walking around in these large trees that is the larger Bible forest, right? All of this and taking these steps is meant to help us do something that's not an easy thing to do. Like, consider the unique challenge of coming to the Bible. Like, in just this room alone, right here, the people who are here in this room, so many people are going to have a different experience with the Bible. Why is that? Why is that? Why do we have such a wide-ranging experience and reaction to scriptures? Why do some, for some of us, it comforts us, while other parts of it make us wince, right? Why do some of us respond to a text with awe and amazement, while others respond to the same text with confusion and disgust? Why is it that some can read a story and feel loved and dignified by the words of Scripture, while others can read the same story in the Bible and hang their heads in shame? If the Bible is so trustworthy and good, why is it so complicated? We need to be able to walk with each other in the midst of this tension of a very, very good book that is complicated. Now, the good news is God can handle our wide range of emotions. He can handle our doubt. God can handle our frustration. But this morning, I want to try to make sense of the challenge of Scripture. Why is it so difficult? Well, for one, we're dealing with ancient texts that has ancient languages that have been translated for our benefit. But those translations are just one of the tools to help us understand what original writers wanted to understand. And translations, you know, can be a challenge. We're already, if we're reading an English Bible, we're already not reading the original text. So that already creates a challenge for us. My New Testament professor in seminary said that reading a translation is like kissing your spouse through a screen door, all right? Like, you're close, but it's not quite the same thing, all right? Not only are we dealing with ancient languages that have been translated, but we're dealing with ancient cultural contexts that are vastly different than our own cultural context today. So that means that standing between you and the book of Genesis is not only like a 3,000 year gap in culture, but a team of translators that were trying to make their best decisions to help you understand what these original writers were saying. Most of the time with great success, other times maybe with less success. All of which can lead to us just scratching our heads as we try to make sense of what an ancient author is trying to communicate to us. Now, all that to say, as much as we'd like for the Bible to be simple, right, it's not simple. It actually requires effort to get the most out of our Bibles. And so here, Mike and I are like your local theologians, but my encouragement to all of you is that no matter what your area of expertise is in life, whatever your career is, whatever the path that you've chosen, you can also engage in the work of theology. You can become theologically literate, right? And we want to be able to help you as you do this. Not for the sake of just knowing stuff, but for the sake of knowing a God and being formed by that God who is able to do that and wants to do that in your life. But it is work. And I hesitate to say that because we can actually go about work in ways that are unhelpful, right? Now, what do I mean by that? You guys recognize this, right? Okay? It's a very good. Okay, we're well on our way, all right? So it's a saw, and now does anybody know what kind of saw this is? It's a hand saw or a carpentry saw or a tooth saw is like the technical name for it. By the way, there's lots of different kinds of saws. There's miter saws, circular saws, chain saws, band saws, jig saws, the list goes on and on. Well, when I was about 11 years old, I was out in the woods behind my house. At that time in my life, we lived in Ohio, and There was a creek back there, and there was a tree by the creek that was leaning over the creek just a little bit. And I thought to myself, man, if I could cut that tree down, I would have my own bridge over the creek. So I went into our basement and I started rummaging around in my dad's tools and on his workbench, where I found this nice sharp tooth saw, and it looked a bit more like that, is what it looked like. The tooth saw is like a staple for carpentry work. It is not designed to cut down trees, okay? And the tree that I wanted to cut down was a nice small tree. I'm not sure what I was thinking. I probably wasn't thinking. But I made an honest attempt to cut down the trunk of this large tree. And within 3 minutes, by the way, don't even think I like broke the bark, okay? Within 3 minutes, I had sliced open my left thumb. All right, I still have a scar there. If you don't believe me, I can come and show me. It's pretty cool. Scars are, we like scars, right? I still have the scar. There's a story to tell, and you're hearing the story now, to remember that day. Here's the thing, though. As a young, ignorant kid, I had decent intuition in the sense that I looked at my dad's tools, and I knew that tool is designed to cut things, okay? So my good intuition about the basic fact that this is a tool cutting thing didn't prevent me from misusing the tool because of my own ignorance of how that tool was designed to be used. Now, the same can be said about the way we use this tool called the Bible. God has gifted us with this amazing tool, and we typically have good intuition to understand what this tool is for, what the Bible is for. But we're so often surrounded by misuse of this tool. So what's some of the good intuition that we have about the Bible? Well, we typically and rightly understand that the Bible is a tool that can help us understand things like, and this got this great list from Tim Mackey, who some of you know, is he leads the Bible Project, and he said, and I think rightly so, that the Bible exists, and we understand this intuitively. We understand this, that the Bible exists for us to help us understand what's true, to help give us wisdom, and to help us to hear God. Okay, those things are true. That's good intuition that we have, and probably why a lot of you show up here on a regular basis, because we want to know more about the Bible, and so we want to know things that are true. We want to gain that wisdom. We want to hear from God. So I'm going to take these one at a time in short order. This won't take too long, and we're just going to try to look at some of the ways that we misuse the tool of the Bible, even with our good intuition to understand, hey, this is what the Bible is for, but we oftentimes misunderstand it. So let's take that first one. Scripture is designed to teach us what is true. That's right. That is good intuition. The Bible does do that. And so just like I understood that the saw on my dad's workbench was for cutting, but here's the not so helpful way that we employ that good intuition. Our tendency is to read the Bible like a reference book, right? So we go in there looking for what's true, and you've heard Pastor Mike talk about this before, but we just go like piecemeal and like looking for like where's something that I just need to find this thing this truth that will help me in this moment. So when we have a question about a certain idea or a problem in life, we go to the Bible and we treat it like Google, right? That's what we're trained to do in our culture today, right? And this is all the more exacerbated right now in the age of AI. I can go to Google or ChatGPT or whatever and just like type in my question. I get like an incredible answer that sounds incredibly true. Maybe it's true. Maybe, right? But we wrongly treat the Bible like this, right? And so we come to our Bible and we're like, okay, Google, what does the Bible say about this? And it's good intuition. The Bible does have all kinds of good answers about what is true and what is right and what is good. Here's the problem. And this is the distinction that Mike often talks about when he teaches. The Bible is not a reference book. The Bible is a story. It's a story. It's a story about who we are about where we are. Like, these are big ideas, right? About why we are here. About what's the problem in this world and why are there problems in this world? The Bible has those answers. That's part of the story. It has the solution, which is amazing. These are big questions that aren't answered, that can't be answered by referencing a verse or even one book in the Bible. Because the Bible's not a reference book. The Bible is a family story. And we're a part of that family. And it requires engagement with this expansive, complex, beautiful family story for us to understand the answers, the truth behind these big questions. Why are we here? Why am I here? What is my purpose? Who is God? What is his character like? And if this kind of a resource, this kind of a story is to be used well, this kind of a tool is to have a formative impact in our lives, it is not enough to simply sit out where you're sitting on a Sunday morning and listen to your local expert talk about the Bible. You need to dive in and engage with the story of God because it's your story as well. The second one, and it's similar to the first, Scripture is meant to give us wisdom about what's good. We intuitively get that. But as we press past big questions like, who am I? Why is the world the way it is? We want to know other questions like, well, how do I live well, right? So we go with our good intuition, we go to Scripture to give us wisdom about what's good, right? But here's the unhelpful way that we often approach the Bible. Instead of looking for true wisdom, we look for rules, right? And I love this example. It's so helpful, and there are countless more like it. But in Paul's letter to the Ephesians, there's one verse where he writes this. He says in chapter 5, verse 18, do not get drunk on wine. Now, even that one verse might be interpreted in a number of different ways. It could easily be interpreted to mean don't get drunk, which is good. That's like baseline right there, okay? It could also be taken to mean... and has been taken to mean by many Christian circles, don't ever drink alcohol, which isn't the worst advice ever, but is that what Paul is saying? But let's just jump ahead a couple more books to 1 Timothy, same author. Paul is writing the same book, and Paul, in this letter, is writing to one person, Timothy, and he tells his protege, Timothy, to stop drinking so much water. Drink wine instead for your stomach. Like, is that universal advice that he's given? Like, is that how we get wisdom? Right? If we misuse this tool that we call the Bible, we're going to get contradictions like that. We're going to treat it like an encyclopedia to get wisdom instead of a story that is written to a particular people. Eventually, what you're going to find is that you're going to pick and choose just the verses that shape God into the God that you want him to be and shapes us into who you want us to be. And we're going to shape our ideas about ourselves and form these ideas to be in our image. So we no longer are we the ones who are formed by the Bible. We are forming the Bible to be what we want the Bible to be. If you treat the Bible like a rule book, you can get pretty good, and some people are very good at this, at making the Bible say whatever you want it to say. But the Bible is meant to challenge your wisdom, your human wisdom with the wisdom of the one who created everything. It's going to say to you, what do you think about that? Is that true? Right? It's going to correct those ways that you look at the world, the way that you look at people, the way that you look at God. We don't want rules. We want wisdom. And we don't get wisdom by treating the Bible like a rule book. Consider how much better wisdom is, by the way, than rules. Like a rule can teach you, maybe, how to do like one thing. It can teach you how to deal with a situation. Wisdom can equip you to know right from wrong in any situation. All right, so the third expectation that we have, this other good intuition that we have about the Bible, is that Scripture is a place where we learn to hear from God. That's good intuition, and it's true. But here's the very simple but important way that we oftentimes can get this wrong. Our tendency is to approach the Bible with a less helpful posture that says the Bible is where we learn about God. But an infinitely more helpful way to look at the Bible and approach the Bible is to say the Bible is not just where we learn about God, the Bible is where we learn to know God and be known by God. Some of the most practical advice that I can give as many of you enter into the reading of Scripture is this. Whether you're reading the Bible for the first time or the 50th time or more, ask questions. Go into the text openly. Say, God, I'm ready to hear your word. Spirit, move in my life. Give me ear to hear your voice. But ask these questions as you go. And I think these simple questions can be very helpful. One is, how does this help me know God better? How does this help me know myself, humanity, better? The other, and it's a simple one, and it can be misconstrued, but how does this make me feel? Not because our feelings are so important, but because they tell us something, right? We need to pay attention to our feelings because they're kind of like the barometer for our soul a lot of times. Right? It doesn't mean your feelings are always right, but we need to pay attention to them. So as you read through a text and you're like, oh, that didn't make me feel so good. How does it make you feel? Write that down. Consider that. And then what questions do I have? If you're going through the text and you're examining the text, you should have questions. Like, why is that the way it is? Now, you can then learn to go and pursue answers to those questions. And that's why we want to teach you guys how to interpret the Bible. Or send those questions to us. All right? We've provided a link on the website at grantcity.org/Bible. Where you can just submit your questions to Mike and I. I didn't tell Mike about this, but the email goes to both he and I. both Mike and I love getting questions, though. We really do. Earnest questions about the Bible excite us. So what questions do you have? Right? And there's lots of different ways to go about reading the Bible. One way is to read it in community together with other people. Like, sit down with four or five other people and just read like Genesis chapter 4 out loud. Yeah. And then talk about it. Read the Bible in large chunks. That's what we're doing right now. Like 2 chapters a day, we could consider that a large chunk. Read, like when you read through an epistle, Paul's letters, like read the whole letter at a time. When do you ever get a letter from somebody and you're like, oh, I'm going to read like the first paragraph now and get back to it later. Like read the whole thing, right? You can also read the Bible in small chunks. In a few minutes, we're going to revisit Psalm chapter 1, just a small piece, just 3 verses, but speaks so powerfully about what the Word of God, the instruction of God, can do to transform our lives. So read the Bible in small chunks. Memorize verses. Right. As we go, I just end with this, and then I want to invite Mike up in a moment just to share about how we want to use some of these resources. But when you read Scripture, alone in your room, you're not alone. The Holy Spirit is there with you. And Jesus told his disciples in John chapter 14 that the Holy Spirit will come and be your teacher. So you're never alone when you're reading Scripture. Now, I say that with a certain amount of trepidation because there's other voices in the room too. There's your own voice, your own spirit speaking to you, maybe even sowing confusion. There's the voice of the enemy. And so we have to be thoughtful and discerning about what's the voice that I'm listening to. But let me tell you this. The more familiar you become with the words of the Bible, the better you're going to be at discerning those voices. As you become more familiar with God's voice in Scripture, you will become more familiar with God's voice through the Holy Spirit. All right. So we want to be able to offer you tools. And so I'm going to invite Mike up. And Mike's just going to share about this resource that we want to be able to help offer to you. And so Mike, come on up and then we'll close with the reading of that psalm.
Thank you, Pastor Sharkey. Well, many of you know me as one of the teaching pastors here at Granite City Church, but one of the other hats that I wear is as the academic director for an online theology school called Awakening. It was started by one of my mentors a few years ago with the mission to awaken people to a deeper understanding of the Bible. The vision is that we wanted to make the Scriptures accessible to everyone, no exception. So for the last couple of years, our school has been creating these free online Bible and theology courses taught by doctorate-level instructors. And yes, you heard me right. I said free. Because the intention was we wanted to make these courses and this material accessible to everyone in a format that was easy to use and that would fit a pace or a schedule that made sense for you. We also did last year, we started an initiative to do a Bible reading community with our students. We invited our students to come and read the Scriptures together with us. And part of that involved creating a reading plan that, as Pastor Sharkey talked about a little earlier, instead of doing the Bible within a year, it slows the pace down to 1 to 2 chapters, typically on the weekdays, using the weekends as a chance to recover, maybe to rest, maybe to catch up on the readings, or to even explore more about the research and the study of the particular Bible book of the month that we've been looking at. What you see behind is a sample of one of the reading guides that we did for Genesis. And within those reading guides, we will provide details about the cultural background, the supernatural worldview of the author and of the audience. And the reason why we felt this was important to provide was because we are modern people. But the Bible was written to a people and context that is vastly different from our own. And if we understand a little bit of even just their background, their context, honestly, that actually helps us understand what are their felt needs. And if we understand their felt needs, maybe we will find a connection to our felt needs. And it also gives us a glimpse to why is it that the God of the Bible, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, why was it that he seemed so amazing, so different, went above and beyond the expectations of the people who learned about this God called Yahweh. One of the other things that we did with this reading plan is that we had also created an app. And you can see that on my left. And it's very easy to find. You'll be able to find it on the Apple and Google Play stores. Just type in AWKNG, and you'll be able to download that for free, sign up for an account. You can access the reading plans. You can even read the scriptures within the app. And we also provided a place for you to take notes, put down your questions. Who the heck are the giants walking in the land? And so that's what we have provided. And at the very end of this reading plan is a listing of resources with clickable links that will take you to free videos, articles, blog entries, podcasts, and more. All this to provide context and information about what you are reading, because we recognize this is, yes, not just a book, but this is essentially a library that we are holding in our hands. A library of truth, of wisdom, and an opportunity to hear the very voice of God speaking to us. Finally, one more thing I want to mention is that with our reading community, with our students, we have been asking them actively, if you're confused by something, email us, tell us your questions. And what we've been doing is gathering these questions and then presenting these questions to a Bible scholar who happens to be focused on that particular book of the Bible. And so what you see behind me is actually a screenshot of one of these times that we did this. We have a podcast called Ask a Scholar with my school. And so we basically have been taking these questions from our students, asking these biblical scholars, what the heck is going on with this? And then we are having a discussion and conversation about that book of the Bible and answering your questions. So due to this experience, when Pastor Sharkey and I were talking about this coming year, we both agreed that what my school has been doing probably actually would be a great blessing for our church community. It provides the opportunity to not just only read the scriptures at a slower pace, but a chance to also have a space where we can process and grow communally, learning how to be nourished from the scriptures together. Because ultimately, and this is my heart belief, and Pastor Sharkey has mentioned this before, the scriptures, they have this ability to not just only deepen our knowledge of who God is, but it also will drill down into us the love of who he is. And by that, we learn who we are and how that can affect us to be his representatives in a world that so desperately needs to know their creator. And so thank you for the opportunity to just share about what my school and what we've been doing this past year. These conversations, just even with these scholars, it has grown my knowledge. But my gosh, the love for God has grown even deeper within me, because I have been seeing things that I had never noticed before of the merciful nature, the kindness, the wisdom of our God through the lens of a people that just didn't understand what is going on, and yet he spoke to them and he reached out to them, because that is the nature of our God. Mm-hmm. So thank you for the opportunity, guys.
Awesome. It really is an incredible opportunity, and I hope that you guys take advantage of it. It's not for everybody. You know, some of us just want to read and maybe ask a question here or there, but I encourage you, as you're able, to drill in. You know, it's too easy for us these days to get caught in the black hole on YouTube or scrolling through shorts forever, or like, today I'm going to learn about like whatever, like weather patterns, like the you know, the European model versus the American model. You don't know the things that I get caught up on. There's so many things we can learn about. We know our capacity to learn is actually incredibly high. We would just want to direct that towards something that is transformative towards Christ-likeness. So with that, I just want to end the message this morning just by reading through Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3 one more time. And I encourage you just listen to this one more time and consider what it means for us to be the kinds of people, like this tree that's planted by the streams of water, what it means for us to take in and drink richly of the nourishing food that is the Word of God. So I encourage you to close your eyes and hear this verse one more time. Remember that thing that that image that you had in your head from the last time. Pay attention to that. Maybe something else pops up this time. Maybe you see that again. What is God doing with that? Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Jesus, I pray that we would be the kind of people who are willing to meditate on your word, to take in this story that you've put before us, drink it into our souls, sink our roots deep into the water that is your word. All these different metaphors that are just so rich and beautiful of what you have to offer us through your living word, God. So speak to us. Give us new life. Form us into who you long for us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.